Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, it didn't seem to be the case during the summer when they were effortlessly evading my attempts to banish them from the dinner table, but flies, I'm told, aren't that smart. Nonetheless, the full mapping of the fly's brain in the last few weeks has been hailed as a breakthrough moment in neuroscience. Here to tell me more is Assistant Professor of Physiology in Trinity College Dublin, Tamara Botto. Welcome to the programme, Tamara. This is a big deal when we think of neuroscience, the first animal's brain to be entirely mapped out. Tell me exactly what that means.
Yes. Hi. Yes, I want to disclose something for us who work with tiny animals. We did have a previous nervous system fully mapped out of a small worm before that. And that was manually mapped out in the 90s, I believe, early 90s, late 80s.
Right. Okay.
This is the most sophisticated brain so far that is fully mapped out of an organism that is able to perform a lot of different behaviors. So it is a big deal that the brain of the fly is mapped out completely.
So what does that mean?
Well, what it means is that if you think about the neural connections of the different multiple connections on the brain, right, we do have all the roadmap, basically. And it's even more than that. It's not only that you have, imagine, I heard people comparing to Google Maps, and it actually makes a lot of sense. Not only that you have all those connections of the maps, but we also know, different cell types have been annotated, which means that not only we know that there's a connection, but we kind of know what type of cell connects to what type of cells, you know, and which means in the equivalent of the map that we have named the streets, I don't know, or the towns already.
Right.
And also we know, we have an idea of the strength of those connections. So we know which ones are highways, which ones are like tiny roads.
Okay.
It's really mapped out for us there now.
So how big is the fly's brain and how many connections are we talking about?
So the fly brain, I heard a few simulations. It's the size of the head of a pin maybe, or a poppy seed. So it's very, very tiny. It's still around 120,000, 130,000 neurons have been reported. And it's like a few millions of connections, like 50, 40 millions of connections there.
And what is the benefit of having this high resolution understanding of the neurons of a fly and what these neurons do?
Basically, like, I'm smiling because I get excited when I talk about this, but the benefit is that we really have now a frame to understand how a brain works. You know, how if you think about our brains every day, like you walk through the street and you have like noises that you need to filter out. You have, I don't know, maybe you're hungry and then you're crossing by a bakery. You receive all that type of information. Your brain thinks about how hungry you are and then you make a decision to go in and buy a croissant or not, right? The idea of understanding how the brain computes all that information is overwhelming. But now we have the map to really propose the model and test it experimentally.
When you say test it experimentally, how do you test this model? Do you mean you can expose it to stimuli and see what happens? Like, is this a live model of a fly's brain?
So the data that is put out right now, it's a data of microscopy data, right? I mean, the connection. So this is a digital virtual map of the brain. But with that information, those neurons are real representations of the neurons of the brain of the fly in our labs. So we can find those neurons. Thankfully, in Drosophila, we have a lot of genetic tools that allows us to go to that specific neuron and then drive proteins that will activate it or silence it. And then you can read out how that affects the activity of the rest of the circuit, how that affects behavior, etc.
Drosophila being another word for fly, for those who...
The fruit fly, yes.
Okay, so how did they map this out? If you're talking about millions of connections and it's the head of a pin, how on earth do you do something like that?
That was a huge effort, and it was a communal effort, because what the researchers did was extract the brain of a fly and then subject it to cuts. Basically, we layered it. I think there were like 7,000 different sections of the brain. And then they took it to an electron microscope, which is basically a microscope that instead of using light, it uses electrons and gives you more resolution. So you can really map very well where there's a synapses, right? Where there's a connection between neurons. The problem about using this microscope that gives you a lot of resolution is that you cannot label the neurons. So you don't know which neurons you have there. So the huge effort that came after that was to really take all those different sections, put them one above each other, and then trace those neurons, right? So luckily, machine learning and artificial intelligence was involved. Google was involved as well to help with that. But the community proofread most of those connections. So different researchers, volunteers as well, you can actually today, you can go to the website and get trained on how to trace those connections. You need to pass a little test to prove that you're good enough. Mm. And you can trace, proofread your neurons to confirm the results from machine learning.
It sounds like AlphaFold, Google had this, before it started doing it automatically with AI, they provided humans with these puzzles of proteins that they could unfold. And it was sort of like a citizen science project. Obviously, there probably weren't citizens involved in this, but you're saying it's sort of a group effort to validate what the AI was saying in terms of all these connections. It's really cool. And this is available.
I don't want to interrupt you, but there were citizens involved, actually. Okay. They developed, especially for the visual system, they developed some sort of a video game. And then, you know, where you needed kind of to rebuild 3D neurons, and the people that performed the best on those video games were actually recruited to trace the real thing.
Okay. So that, yeah, it's very similar. I love that idea of using video games and citizen science to get loads of people to tackle problems that would have just taken too long. Because you do sometimes, when the technology isn't there, you need humans to validate that, yes, this looks correct to me. Once this is done, what happens to that research? So this is called a connectome, am I right? So we talk about biomes and genomes. This is a connectome that maps out the connections in a fly's brain. Can anyone have access to that, or is this proprietary research?
No, it is freely available to anybody. There's a couple of websites, for example, in this case, the one related to this group of articles is Flywire. You can log in and you can access that that information. There are also tutorials and training devices and apps that you can, you know, get yourself into. And I was not involved. I want to disclose that I was not involved in the connectome, but I am an active user of that information.
Okay. And so, what do you do with it? Why is it interesting and important to understand what a fly thinks about?
Yeah. Well, the whole idea, I think that the idea that you can understand how neurons talk to each other and how they regulate decision making and behavior is super interesting. Obviously, there are differences between brains, right? I mean, a fly brain and a human brain. But still, eventually, the way that neurons talk to each other is very similar. We might not have the same brain structures, but the way that the neurons are going to talk are very similar. And there are hints of that in this group of articles. For example, there's an overrepresentation of recurrent connections in the brain, feedback, right? I mean, basically, if a neuron is talking to a second neuron, it can also receive information back as a feedback mechanism. And that seems to be a very common thing. They found that as well in databases of bigger brains that are not complete, like a zebrafish larva. We have a section of that database, and they compare it, and it seems to, those motifs seems to be present there as well. But it can also fit into so many things, right? I mean, the brain is so much better than anything else to perform a lot of tasks with very little energy, right? So this can also feed into virtual brains, networks, you know, computer science.
Well, maybe you might give me a few examples of how a fly's brain might overlap with a human's brain. I mean, I suppose there's reward center, right? There's sensory stuff, vision and senses. What sort of other analogies do we have between a fly and a human's brain?
When in reality, when it comes to behavior, the basic functions are there. I mean, flies can learn if you teach them, and they can navigate. The field, actually, one of the first subconnectomes that got released was learning a memory center in the fly brain. Yeah.
So just on that, what can we teach a fly to do?
It's a Pavlovian, many, many things. For example, I work with some version of Pavlovian teaching. So basically, we can pair a specific odor with a sugar reward, and the fly is going to associate it, right? And later on, if it's presented with the odor, it's going to remember that it was associated with sugar, so it's going to walk towards it.
I'm sorry, are you saying that we could train flies to do the dog's job at an airport?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can associate many things. You can associate also punishment, for example. If you pair an odor with an electric shock, the fly is going to later on avoid the odor, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, flies also, like, you know, they get addicted to drugs, to ethanol. They sleep, they court. The male flies sing to females during courtship. So all those understanding the neural base. So if you can link this wiring with function, you can really understand this type of control of behaviors.
What about the human brain then? You mentioned the difference. I mean, it sounds like 50,000 brain cells is not a lot when...
No, exactly. No, so when we talk about the human brain, we need to change the scale of numbers there, right? There's trillions of connections between neurons in the human brain, expected, estimated. So as far as I know, I mean, there are attempts. There are human connectome projects, right? In the US, funded by the National Institute of Health, Google, and there a lot of them are based on imaging techniques. But for example, as far as I know, the most detailed connectome of a human brain is the size of a rice grain. It was also recently released, and it's also publicly available. But if you think about, that's as much as we got into in the last 10 years, I think, of effort. It will take a while, right? If we can do it on flies, why cannot we do it on humans, right? Eventually we will, but it will take a while.
Finally, I wanted to ask you a question about flies, seeing as you work trying to understand them. How do they move so fast? How do they know when we're about to swat them? Can the connectome tell us anything about how to get them?
You actually, like, the connectome told us.
Oh, really?
How to do it. Yes, although, like, I now you're going to make me blush because I don't know if I have the details pinned down because this was a lot of information. But basically, so the thing is, before the connectome era, we could understand neural circuits. We've been doing that, right? We knew which area of the brain was controlling a specific part of the behavior. We can artificially activate those neurons. We can induce the behavior. This is something that we know. But if you think about it realistically in the lab, you focus on your circuit, on your behavior. Complex regulations like that involve different circuits, right? So the connectome is a beautiful way that we can actually bridge that gap. And in the case of flies escaping when we try to swap them, you know, if you think about visual information is there. So the visual circuits of the fly detecting your movement is there. How that connects to the escape response and the motor pathways, that bridge was built with the connectome.
Wow.
So we do know how immediately, you know, this information is sent to the neurons that are going to affect the motor escape pathways and leg and muscle constriction, et cetera.
And the fly then escapes us one more time.
Exactly.
Well, this
exactly.
is really, really cool research. It'd be interesting to see what comes out of it. Thank you so much for talking to us about it. Tamara Botto is an assistant professor in physiology at Trinity College Dublin, not involved in research. Thanks for your time, Tamara.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.